Lit Chicks, episode 17, Nigerian authors episode.
Hey guys, welcome to tonight's episode. I want to start by saying I record these while on my porch, and because I have an ancient dog, and if I was inside, you would hear her pacing around on the hardwoods. So you may hear a lot of kids outside playing. There's probably, I don't know, a small horde of children two doors down, and they're playing on their giant treehouse. So, anyways, Marcia, what you got for us?
All right. Well, I'm going to start us off tonight. We're going to do a little bit different format tonight, but I'm starting off with a book called My Sister, the Serial Killer by, let me pronounce her name right, Oyekan Braithwaite. I hope that I didn't say that wrong. I did look it up trying to find out how to say it, so apologies if I got it wrong, but she is a Nigerian author, and I loved this book. It was not particularly long. It was not like a crazy concept. The concept is, well, I'll get into the story in the summary in just a second, but it wasn't a crazy concept. Just the way that she wrote it, the characters felt real, so real that I was actually yelling at my book at one point in time.
Uh-oh, that's rare for you, I feel.
It is rare for me. Like, I cry at books a lot, but I don't normally yell at my books. This one had me yelling at the books because, one of the characters is just so, it was frustrating. I don't want to give too much away. I got this as an advanced reader copy from NetGalley. So thank you, NetGalley. And also, I can't give any quotes from the book. It specifically says that in the front of my copy, that until the book is published and I check it against the published copy, I cannot give out any quotes.
When is it going to be published?
It is supposed to be published November 20th of this year.
Okay. So a little bit of a wait.
Yes, a little bit of a wait, but worth the wait. So it's not particularly long. It's not particularly like outlandish new concept, but just her writing style is really good. Her character development was good. The dialogue, everything was believable. So I really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give a quick summary. There's two sisters, Cord and Ayola. And Cord is a nurse. And Ayola is like a fashion designer. Basically, she like designs and sews her own clothes and then puts them on Instagram. And they sell like hotcakes because she's really pretty. Like, strikingly pretty. Everybody notices. Everybody. Women and men. They just all think she's just gorgeous. Women want to be friends with her. Men want to date her. It's just, everybody loves Ayola. Cord is a nurse. And Ayola is the serial killer. Which, you know, straight from the beginning. It's not a spoiler. The reason why they... It's really interesting the way that it opens up. Cord is called to always help Ayola clean up her messes. And Cord's a nurse. So she's really good at like sussing out what the scene is. And also she knows how to clean up like bodily fluids because she works in a hospital. So she is the one who's always cleaning up Ayola's messes. And she's the older sister too. So she feels kind of responsible for her younger sister. The first person that you, like, when you first open up the book, the very first thing going on is that Ayola has killed her most recent boyfriend, Femi. And Femi is gorgeous and also a poet. And this is the first time that Cord...
Did he know it?
Yes, he did. And this is the first time that Cord is starting to doubt her sister, because her sister always says that these guys have come after her and she's defending herself. So this is her third boyfriend that she's killed. And it's the first time that Cord is starting to think maybe it's not the boyfriends.
Maybe it's a problem.
Yeah. And also she has a note in there, like, she Googled it at one point in time, and she's like, they start calling you a serial killer after your third murder. So this is where the title comes in.
I would think that maybe she would have a problem after the first one, but okay.
Yeah. She explains that. The first two guys were like complete losers, and it was believable that they could have like been trying to harm Iola.
Okay.
But now she's like starting to think, wait, I don't know if this is legit. Like, Femi's a poet, and like he wrote Iola poetry, and like it doesn't seem to fit that he would attack her. And like some of the way that the attacks were done was like, is that a defensive wound or not? You know? So she starts to second guess her sister. She's pretty sure at some point in time, I mean, clearly by the title, that it's not the men, it's her sister. But so you meet some other people. I don't want to give too much away. But the other main character you kind of meet right away is Tade. And Tade is a doctor who works at the hospital, who's really good looking and really good with all of his patients. And Cord has a huge crush on Tade. And I think you can see where this is going.
Uh-huh. And I'm interested in this book. Like, when you told me about it, and then I read like the little synopsis of it on Goodreads, I instantly was attracted to this book.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not a very long book, but she writes it in such a way that like it's concise, like impactful, and it goes like the reading is very fast. Like, I tore into this thing. I think I read it either in like 24 or 36 hours. Like, it didn't take me long at all to read the whole thing because I was like really into it. And I really appreciated the idea of, you know, sisters and like the bond that they share, but also like having a sociopath for a sister. And I really enjoyed that. Like, it's the perspective of the, like, you don't normally see female serial killers. I mean, typically in real life, female serial killers are rare. But then to also, like, see it from a literary standpoint, too, it's rare. So, like, it's an interesting story. And it's set in Lagos, Nigeria, which is where the author is from, where the author lives.
Lagos? Yep. I'm going to talk about Lagos, too.
Oh! Well, I cannot say enough good things about this book. I just really enjoyed it. And I want to give a little bit more information on the author, since I can't give a whole bunch of detail on the actual story without like giving a whole bunch of stuff away. So the author, she went to Kingston University and she graduated with a creative writing and a law degree. So she was a busy lady.
Oh, yeah.
She worked as an assistant editor at a Nigerian publishing house before she wrote this book, or while she was writing this book. And she also was a finalist in 2016 for the Commonwealth Short Story Prize. So she's got a lot of writing background, but this is her debut novel. And it was picked up by Working Title Productions. So they're looking to possibly make it into a feature film.
Oh, man, she's coming in hot.
I know. But I mean, like I said, it's such a good story, and it lends itself so beautifully to being a movie. Like, you mean, while you're reading it, you're like, yeah, I can see this as a movie for sure.
Oh, well, I'm excited about this. November 20th?
November 20th.
I'll be checking it out.
I will be buying a hard copy because I enjoyed it so much and I want to give, you know, proceeds to the author. So.
Anything else?
I don't think so because I don't want to give too much away. Like I said,
I get it.
But, yeah. It's good stuff. I liked it.
All right. Well, let me tell you about my book.
Okay.
So, I read The Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. And I did the audiobook. It was narrated by Bonnie Turpin. And the narrator, I enjoy. I've heard her before. She narrates a book called Allegedly that I read earlier this year and enjoyed. And she also narrates The Hate U Give, which has been on my to read list for too long. So I'm going to have to bump that up.
Yeah, it's on my list too.
Yes. And the author of The Hate U Give is actually going to be at a reading festival in Greenville, South Carolina. In October. I had to think about that. How did I forget October? It's my favorite. It's actually on my 5-year wedding anniversary, but I'm totally going to it. You can't miss it. Who would want to miss that? So, anyways, this is the debut novel by Adeyemi, and she is a Nigerian American author, only 23 years old, and recent graduate from Harvard. She likes to give back to her community for creative writing. So if you have any questions or anything, she does a lot of blogging on her website, tomiadeyemi.com, and gives great writing advice. So check it out. This novel is a young adult fantasy novel, and it's West African based. There's a map in the front of the book, like all great books, and it's a beautiful map that she created, and Lagos is on it along with several other locations that are within the book. So the summary of this book, I'm going to read it straight from the book jacket because I think that they do a better job than I could. So Zaley Adebola remembers when the soil of Orisha hummed with magic. Burners ignited flames, tiders beckoned waves, and Zili's reaper mother summoned forth souls. But everything changed once magic disappeared. Under the orders of a ruthless king, the Magi were targeted and killed, leaving Zili without a mother and her people without hope. Now Zili has one chance to bring back magic and strike against the monarchy. With the help of a rogue princess, Zili must outwit and outrun the crown prince, who is hell-bent on eradicating magic for good. Danger lurks in Orisha, where snow leopinaires prowl and vengeful spirits wait in the waters. Yet the greatest threat may be Zili herself as she struggles to control her powers and her growing feelings for an enemy. So I'm going to like break my review kind of into two sections because with this book, I feel like it's necessary and you'll hear why shortly. As a fantasy novel, I would rate this book a 3.5 out of 5 stars. The thing that bugged me like the most was the romance in this novel. It was not something, and I love romance. I love it. But it was not believable to me. And it just hurt the book, in my opinion. Something I did really enjoy was the message of the book, which, once again, I'm going to talk about in a minute. But we are all children of blood and bone, all of us. And this story is told from three different perspectives. And I love multiple narrators. But with this one, it kind of got repetitive. Like, if I were brushing my hair and Marcia was watching me, I would be telling you that I was brushing my hair. And then when it switched to Marcia, she would tell you that she saw me brushing my hair. And then it just felt a little repetitive. Some of that, in my opinion, could have been cut out. The four main characters which I thought was interesting that you got four main characters, but only three narrators. Zili was probably the main character, and she's a diviner who lost her mother during the mass killings of the Magi that were ordered by the evil king. Zane, her brother, he's the one that's not one of the narrators. He's her older brother. Amari, who is the rebel princess with a cause. Inan, who is Amari's brother, the prince, and super loyal warrior for his evil king father. This book had a super awful cliffhanger.
Oh no.
Like, super awful. And I was reading an interview with the author, and I thought this was really funny. I want to share with you one of the quotes from that interview. When she was asked about the cliffhanger, she said, "This is publishing's fault. When I started writing Children of Blood and Bone, I was a Ravenclaw, and now I'm a cold-blooded Slytherin. I wanted to complete the epic adventure of book one, but I had to give a cruel taste of what readers would get in book two." And it is very cruel. So, this book just recently came out this year, and this is going to be a trilogy, and I'm already counting down to when I can get my hands on the next book, which is Children of Virtue and Vengeance. It's due out in March 2019, and then the third one in 2020. The movie rights for this have been purchased by Fox.
Nice.
Hopefully. Yeah, I know. I'm excited. I'm very excited to see this as a movie. I would definitely recommend this book to anyone and everyone, which brings me to the next part of my review. In my heart, this book is straight up 5 out of 5. It's perfect. At the end of this book, there is a note from the author. And when you read this book, it changes from a really good fantasy book into something completely different. And it's just super important. So because this is so important to me, I want to share with you guys the author's note at the end. So if you haven't read this, going into it, your eyes will be open to it. And I just think it's great. Like, maybe before you read it, it might not move you as much, but if you read it before and after you've read the book, then I think it would be important. I know that they're not going to put an author's note in a book at the beginning and the end. That would be kind of silly, but I just wanted to share it with you. It made me cry. Like, it's, you know, I'm going to try not to cry while I read it this time. I've read it several times over the last few days to prep for this. Okay. Author's note. "I shed many tears before I wrote this book, many tears as I revised it. And even as it sits in your hands now, I know that I will shed tears again. Although riding giant lionairs and performing sacred rituals might be in the realm of fantasy, all the pain, fear, sorrow, and loss in this book is real. Children of Blood and Bone was written during a time where I kept turning on the news and seeing stories of unarmed black men, women, and children being shot by the police. I felt afraid and angry and helpless. But this book was the one thing that made me feel like I could do something about it. I told myself that if just one person could read it and have their hearts or minds changed, then I would have done something meaningful against a problem that often feels so much bigger than myself. Now this book exists, and you are reading it. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. But if this story affected you in any way, all I ask is that you don't let it stop within the pages of this text. If you cried for Zuleika or Salim," which are not major characters, so that is not a spoiler, "cry for the innocent children like Jordan Edwards, Tamir Rice, and Ayanna Stanley Jones. They were 15, 12, and 7 when they were shot and killed by the police. If your heart broke for Zili's grief over the death of her mother, then let it break for all the survivors of police brutality who have had to witness their loved ones taken firsthand. Survivors like Diamond Reynolds and her 4-year-old daughter, who were in the car when Philando Castile was pulled over and shot." I'm sorry, that says pulled over, shot, and killed. Geronimo Yanez, the officer who killed him, was acquitted of all charges. These are just a few tragic names in a long list of Black lives taken too soon. Mothers ripped from daughters, fathers ripped from sons, and parents who will live the rest of their lives with a grief no parent should have to know. This is just one of the many problems plaguing our world, and there are so many days when these problems still feel bigger than us. But let this book be proof to you that we can always do something to fight back. As Zeely says in The Ritual, we are all children of blood and bone. And just like Zeely and Amari, we have the power to change the evils in this world. We've been knocked down for far too long. Now let's rise.
Oh, man, okay. That's powerful.
I know. And this book covers many racial injustices going on in the world today, ones that desperately need attention brought to them. And it speaks out against the unjust violence and brutality against Black and brown people. The author shared in an interview that much of the violence directed towards her protagonist in this book came from our news. There's a scene at the beginning of the book, and I'm not going to say exactly what, but there's a scene, and in the interview that I read, it is from the news story back in 2015 of a 15-year-old girl who was at a graduation pool party.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, so it shares, I mean, that happens in the book. She makes it happen to the protagonist, basically. And, like, I was unfamiliar with this news story, so I looked it up. And the thing that, like, the whole thing was absolutely absurd. It should have never happened, and it was unexcusable. And then I watched a video of the police chief trying to say that he had 12 officers on the scene, and only one of them went against protocol. Only one of them did not follow proper training. Are you kidding me? Like, that's what you're going with? You had 12 officers there. No one stopped him. So all officers are in the wrong. Like, you can't say, oh, well, out of 12, one didn't do their job. No, none of them did their job if they let that happen.
I have this conversation with my husband all the time, and it bothers me so much because there's so much blue line rallying rallying around each other, protecting each other, and that is garbage. If you are a police officer, you should want the people who are not following protocol to be done. You should want people who are abusive with power to be done, because it's a reflection on you as well if you're one of the good ones. And I know that there are good cops out there, but I also know from firsthand experience that there are bad ones out there too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of the problem is, well, like when people say, you know, Black Lives Matter, and then someone comes up with All Lives Matter, that's not what we're talking about. Like, if it's not affecting you directly in your life, sometimes you're shut off to certain things and you're just unable to process them how they should be processed. Like, you're going to argue and not understand the actual point. But what she does in this novel is she creates this fantasy world that takes you out of your own life experiences and everything, puts you in this fantasy setting. And the way she writes it, it makes it more accessible for everyone. You know what I mean? Because she's created from top to bottom this whole world, and you're in it. So you can't escape, you know, the pain, the humiliation, the hate. You can't not see those things. And it's just the ugly truth of our own world, unfortunately. And she forces you to see it in her writing. And I think everyone needs to read this book. They need to pass it along. They need to live by it. You need to speak up about these injustices and speak up against them. If you ever see anything happen, you need to speak up. That's the best action that we have, unfortunately, right now, because anything more, they're, you know, just going to attack back. So that's really, like, I had this discussion last night with a friend, and we were talking about, like, what you can do to speak up or, you know, against this issue. And the unfortunate truth that she told me was that if she was standing with me as a white person, I would be more believable than her. And that outrages me. And so she said the best thing to do is just speak up and speak out against it. That if you witness anything, you know, it's not right. You know, it's not right. Do something. Don't just stand there and let it happen. Speak out against it. A part of this book that really bothered me, like I said before, was the romance part. But then when I was talking to my friend Tanisha about it, I was like, you know what? I just realized that's a lesson in itself in this book. And it's no matter what, we're all children of blood and bone. No matter what someone has done to you, love them. And like, that's the best thing I could come up with for it. And I didn't see it at first reading it from just straight fantasy novel, you know, but then afterwards when I started talking about the book with my friend, it clicked in place and I was like, oh, it's another lesson. And I just liked how, and I don't want to say it made it more accessible, but it made the truths of our world just more clear, like pointed them out and you can't escape them. And I didn't want to say like necessarily I would see these things, but like, I don't want to say that I didn't feel connected to them. Like I'd see them, they're horrible. They should never be happening. But I think definitely that this book is going to change the way that I respond to them. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, I know what you're saying. I have intellectually known about these things for a long time. And I think for me, the first time that it really clicked into place on an emotional level, and this is it feels embarrassing saying it because of, you know, I feel like it should have clicked into place a long time ago on an emotional level. But I was listening to NPR and they were interviewing a woman after all the stuff was happening after the riots with Mike Brown and Ferguson. And one of the women said that she was afraid to have children because if she had a son, that she was afraid he'd get gunned down in the street.
And it's true.
Just tore my heart out. And it made me realize that, like, that's not something I've ever had to worry about before. And just that's somebody's reality just gutted me.
Yeah. And I read another interview with the author and she was just talking about, and this isn't violence related. It's just, you know, double standard related, that if you are a black or brown person and you get a shot to do something, then you have to make it absolutely perfect or they're going to take it away from you and you're not going to get another shot at it for a long time. But a white person can create some mediocre piece of trash and it will get like widespread release. Hello, Tom Hanks. Sorry, I love you, Tom Hanks, as an actor, but you should never publish books.
Exactly what I thought of when you said that.
I know, and it's so true, and I don't understand why it's true, because that's trash. Like, that's trash. That should never be a thing. And my friend, and I hope she doesn't mind that I called her out by name, but my friend Tanisha, hey, Tanini, she was telling me that as a young black child, you know, you're told by your parents that you have to be perfect. Like, there is no room for error. And as a white kid, I never had that freaking discussion with my parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it should not be that way. Like, no. What world are we living in? And so I think I don't know. This book just connected with me in a different way. And like, I don't consider myself a bad person in any form or fashion. But like, I don't know, this book just made me see things in a different way. And I super appreciate it. I think that And I'm not hating on white people either. I hate on no one. Look, I hate people by their personality, not their skin color. But I really think that all white people should read this book.
Well, I definitely plan on reading it myself. But I...
Yeah, and I
totally get what you're saying. Like, just 100%. We have to stand up and say something. It's not just, we shouldn't be putting all the burden on Black and brown people to speak up for themselves. We should be standing up beside them and saying something.
Yes. We're all children of freaking blood and bone. Get your life together.
And this Love is why the author wrote it. And I think it's beautiful when it, like, I think it's completely beautiful when somebody writes something of consequence and people sit up and take notice.
Yes. And like, I don't want to talk about on the podcast, like, all the things that compare, like, to things that are happening in this world that happen in this book, because I want you to read it and experience it for yourself and take note of all these things that she's weaved throughout this fantasy novel. But like, there's so much, and I want to talk about it. I want to talk about this book until I turn blue in the face. And like, I sat down and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say for this podcast, because I have so many thoughts on this now. Like, this book has totally consumed me and like outraged me at the same time. And more people need to read this book and be affected by it. That's, I mean, ultimately, Tomi Adeyemi crushed it for her debut novel, and I look forward to whatever else she has to put out.
I mean, coming out strong like that on your debut novel, like,
I know. And I read a lot of hate for this.
Doing so well.
I read a lot of reviews that said that it didn't like live up to the hype, because this book was super hyped up, and she got like a really large advance, I think, for this book. And you know, like, it depends on how you look at it, because like I said, like, as a fantasy novel, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I enjoyed it. I would read it again. But then that author's note hits and it's just like, nope, this book is amazing. I don't know what else to say other than this book's amazing. Speak up. Talk about the difficult things that you may not feel super comfortable talking about, and like, that itself is something you need to solve. You need to learn to speak up and talk about it. Change starts with one person. That's all I got.
That's good stuff.
I'm gonna go find somebody and hug them.
Yeah, I definitely want to hug some people right now.
Where'd all those little kids go?
They're, oh, you're a little kid. I was like, mine are in the playroom. I don't know.
Well, I don't have any of my own. It'd probably be weird if I went over to the neighbor's house and was like, give me your kids. I want to hug them.
I need a hug.
But I mean, this book is very powerful, and I would definitely encourage people to go check it out. So stop listening. Go pre-order your copy of My Sister, the Serial Killer.
Yes.
And go buy your copy, buy a hardcover. It's beautiful. The book is beautiful. The book jacket is beautiful.
I should have bought, I was in Target just like a couple of hours ago, and I was looking at it and I was like, I'm going to borrow Becky's book. No, I should have bought it. Like, what was I thinking? I should have bought it.
It's so good. It's so beautiful. And it's such a great book. And, oh, I was a little upset, because I will tell you, when I get into a fantasy novel, I do fall like head over heels. So I was a little upset at the amount, or the lack of, fan art. Because I went and I Googled it and I was like, there's not enough. So people need to get on that. If you are an artist, please get some fan art, I cannot talk, for Children of Blood and Bone, because I'm going to need it.
Well, it just got released a couple months ago though, right?
Yeah, but people, get with it.
And also, if she's getting got Fox bought the rights to the movie, then she's going to get paid the big dollars. And we'll definitely see some fan art after that.
True, but I want it now. There was one that I really enjoyed of Zili. But anyways, we hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All right. If you've liked tonight's episode, Marcia, tell them what to do.
Please subscribe to us, rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Goodreads. You can visit our website at litchickspodcast.com or email us at litchickspodcast@gmail.com. And also we have a shirt collaboration with Alan at Arrow Tree Apparel on Etsy.